My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voice of Wrestling Network.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Here we go!
Listening to the Emerald Flow Show on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 80 of the Emerald Flow Show. We're a podcast on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. You can follow us on X and Blue Sky at Emerald Flow Show. And you can listen to us on all of your favorite podcast apps. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review. And you can go to voicesofwrestling.com/donate to donate to the show if you're feeling generous. I'm Gerard here back with Paul. And Paul, let's cut right to the chase. Peter is healing.
Yes.
Kenta has returned home.
Yes. All is right with the world. Well, yes. At least this part of the world.
So this was just really a few hours ago, like maybe 12 hours ago, 14 hours ago. There was going to be a press conference that said Kenta and Mara Fuji would be there.
Everybody knew what this was. Yeah.
What it was, but it is official. He put on like a tracksuit jacket, mm-hmm. everything to show that he's back. And am I unrealistically excited about this? Because look, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that Kenta's body isn't thrashed, but he clearly looks like he gives a shit. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, this isn't just a paycheck like New Japan is, or like the various like US indie bookings that he was doing, like when it was like, I think even on the broken down version of him, it was half effort broken down version Kenta is what we got for like New Japan. Whereas right. this is like, and I think that's really only become obvious since he like started like wrestling in Noah again, where it's like, oh yeah, wait a minute. So this is what it looks like when he like gives a shit. So like he's obviously not what he used to be, but he can actually still like he hasn't unlearned how to wrestle basically.
Yeah. So, I mean, also now that he's signed, I think a lot of the 25th anniversary stuff is going to be built around him.
Yeah.
And Marufuji, of course. Is he getting the DHC title?
Yes, that was actually going to be my question as well. Yeah, I do think he's getting that title. I don't think it's going to be a long run because I don't like, I actually wouldn't be like, actually, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if he's either the champion going into next year's New Year's show or if he's challenging at that show. I think they might hold it off until then.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea. Yeah, well, we'll see because who knows where this Ozawa reign is going, but we'll get to that more a little later. Next up, we missed this last time because it sort of went under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew about it. I just forgot to add it to our last run sheet. But Yusuke Okada has retired from pro wrestling. From what I understand, his cancer treatment responded well, but I think he just wanted to bow out after that scare and probably the fact that he was spinning his wheels even in DDT.
Yeah, like he was going nowhere.
Yeah. So where do you rank him as the what if on the what if scale?
He's a weird case, right? Because it's obviously now he becomes a what if case because he like retired pretty early. Like, I think he's still like, I think he's like early 30s, right?
At this point, 30, 31 tops. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, otherwise, he was generally like, aside from that cancer scare, he was generally always like healthy for the most part. Mm-hmm. So, like, he's definitely like, I think he's a what if case, and like, in just in terms of like, what if he was ever actually like properly pushed by anybody? And we don't know why he was never really pushed. Like, I think that's more my what if. Like, he's not like a what if case of like, what if he never got that big injury or whatever? Like,
yeah.
Because he never had that big injury until he had this cancer scare. So it's more of a like, well, what if somebody just decided to push him? And why didn't anybody ever try to push him?
Well, so what's funny is that, of course, you know, the rumor is that he did not like Tajiri when Tajiri was had a lot of backstage power in All Japan, but ultimately Tajiri.
Yeah.
So would his fortunes have changed if he had just stayed?
I don't think he would have. Realistically, he maybe would have peaked at like the level that like Hokuto Mori is at now. Right, sure. So like solid upper mid card to upper mid card guy.
Yeah. Well, are you angry if you're him at Jun Akiyama for following him into nothing?
I kind of, because I think the one thing that will always stick in my mind is that like giant smile, right? That when Akiyama took that picture just after he had left like All Japan, just after like.
Yeah.
I mean, in this case, I mean, Okada had left All Japan and they like met up in the restaurant and there's just Okada with this just like giant smile on his face. And it really felt like a weight was like lifted from his shoulder. And then he got into DDT. He got that very brief early push and then was right back to where he was in All Japan.
Yeah. Yeah. He started very early with that great match against Yuki Uino for the Universal title.
Yeah, that was amazing. I was like, oh my God, All Japan missed the boat so badly on this guy. And then, yeah, that was it. That was it completely. There's nothing since then.
So bizarre. I don't know. Maybe he, you know, DDT doesn't really have as big a stigma when they take someone from outside their system, mm-hmm. right? They don't really follow all of these traditional hierarchical rules that most other, right? So...
And you think having the backing of the head trainer of the dojo
and having
would carry some weight. Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it did not. So I don't blame him for having a major health scare and then just taking stock.
Yeah. No, I would also be like, you know what? I don't think this is worth it anymore because clearly this isn't working for me. Whatever.
Yeah, for sure. We got bad news. So should we go through all the bad news first or should we punctuate it with some good news?
No, let's just get really down and into like all of the bad news and then like let's do the lighthearted thing at the end.
Okay. Yuji Hino I think has been hospitalized with heart issues.
Yeah.
And he's only 40.
Yes.
And that's
apparently Kobashi said he's also not doing well either. So that's great.
That's career ending, regardless of what happened,
yes.
Right? You can't. Well, I mean, Sugiura had a abnormal heartbeat, but I think that's a little different. What Hino's probably facing and everything like that. But you don't want to get in a wrestling ring when you have a heart issue.
He also has like three kids as well. Like
that's yeah, the other thing. I mean, it's just isn't that why he partially like went into like semi-retirement or freelancing?
Yeah,
to help
because he wants to take care of his kids. So no, yeah. I think that's this is it definitely.
Yeah, so just so tragic. And I just really hope that he can get through like that.
Yeah, I really hope so. Like that, like again, that would be like he's still like only 40. Like that's no yeah. age as well. And again, three kids as well. So mm-hmm. that would just be devastating for the family. Yeah. So I really hope he pulls through.
And Yuki Ueno had found a hematuria, which is possible blood in the kidneys. Now he got a scan and it doesn't sound like anything's too serious, but he's been taking off a couple of shows anyway. So
yeah,
to monitor as well. Which you're like, this guy's only like, what, 30, 31, great shape, and damn.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think it seems more like an overabundance of caution than anything else.
Yeah. Well, so he's going to still be at signing autographs on one of the show and making an address. So I don't know. We'll see what's up with that. But it doesn't sound serious at this point because they didn't find anything like, you know.
Yeah.
They didn't take a quick scan of his kidneys like, oh, this is clearly an issue or something. So hopefully, fingers crossed that this is just a preventative.
Yeah, I hope so as well. But at least so far, it looks like it's hopefully nothing serious, actually.
And, okay, on a more positive note, the Seto brothers are now musical stars. You probably may have seen the Dochi Dochi video by now. Paul, thoughts on the video?
Doom. Yeah, no, I love it. It's so cool. So I think it's really, really fun. I don't think the Saitos are good singers, but also that's not what this is about. Like, I think this is all about like the like me, like basically trying to like get this to go viral on TikTok, right?
Yeah,
because they have like the dance routine and everything. And I mean, it also seems like a nice, like it also seems like a little bit of like a personal song. I think not that I understand a whole lot of what they're like singing, but it at least seems to be like about like the Saitos kind of story, essentially.
I don't know enough about J-pop. Maybe you know more. I don't know. But Ray cannot be a pioneer. He cannot go and say, I'm going to bring beards to J-pop, can he?
I think he actually would be. Like, I think generally if you like have like a Japanese singer in your mind, like for like pop songs, like that's also the other thing. I was surprised by like the genre that they went with. I would have expected them to do like a rock song.
Yeah.
But like this kind of genre that they went with, I don't like. Well, I guess Lady Beard exists, so
that's true. But that's a little different.
That's different, yes.
But yeah, I mean, I assume that's why he shaved.
Yes, yeah, but then June has a little bit of a beard. But yeah, no, I mean, this makes a whole lot more sense because that look wouldn't have worked with like what they were going for this music video.
Yeah, I have no clue on how to investigate the Japanese pop charts or anything like that. So if you do know how to do that, take a look and let us know. I'm curious.
John has this friend that's really into idols. Maybe he can find out.
Yeah.
Gotta ask them.
It's obviously gonna help him, I'm sure. Can't go wrong.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. I mean, worst case scenario, it just doesn't go anywhere and then it's whatever. But and ideally, like it actually goes like wild and
I mean,
become
this is,
even more popular.
I mean, obviously, Joshi's always had this, but I mean, this was a thing in the 80s. I mean, Terry yes. released an album. Hulk Hogan released an album in Japan. So did Jumbo. And I think Fujinami did, too. I'm not
and
he did, but I know Jumbo did.
I mean, they didn't release an album. But again, there is that famous, like, singing performance from, like, Misawa and Kawada and Kobashi.
Yes, yes the variety show appearance.
Yes.
So, but that hasn't been really as thing as much as it used to be, right? I think that had something to do with, you know, the lack of pro wrestling being much less culturally significant in Japan than it once was, too.
Yeah, that too. I think the only thing we've really gotten since then is, like, guys, like, singing their own, like, entrance theme. Like,
yeah.
Mochizuki or Hiroshi Yamato.
So, from there, we will go to Pro Wrestling Noah. They had a bunch of shows that were just small spot shows. I couldn't watch all of them.
Yeah, no, I was also like,
there was a lot.
Yeah,
but
I looked at them and I was like, yeah, exactly. That was my thinking as well. Where I was like, okay, I can crash watch all of these, but I'm not gonna remember anything, and like the big show that matters has already happened.
Did you watch the Shinjuku Face show though?
I watched the Face show, yeah.
So did I, yeah. So we'll start there. Naomichi Marufuji and Shuhei Taniguchi defeated Takashi Sugera and Shuji Kondo in 11:01 with the financer clutch from Marufuji on Kondo. Again, they've been putting the old guys in these opening tags, and I've really been enjoying him.
Yeah. I mean, it's a perfect spot for them to be in as well.
Yeah. And then next up was Muhammad Yone and Black Matsurei defeated Anthony Green and Zozaya in 8:55 with the muscle buster on Yone on Zozaya. I'd call that a mild upset, sort of, given the rings on the other side. But I would say on the ranking of, and I love him, but on the ranking of Matsurei matches in NOAH, this would actually be on the upper echelon.
Oh, yeah, no, because it doesn't involve the Reeve mask. So, like, that already makes it better.
Yes, but Zozaya continues to look good, right?
Yes, no. I definitely, I do think that bring, like, his tour is over now. I'm pretty sure, because he is also announced for WXW's Ambition Tournament at the beginning of March. So I do think his tour is done now, but I would definitely think that he's a guy that they would want to bring back.
Yeah, for sure. And then Kenno beat Owada-san in 7:15 with a standing Kenno special. I mean, I thought this was pretty good, and I like Owada a lot. I'm surprised they're still kind of treating him like a young boy with his match,
yeah.
Like, you know, how he jobs out and everything like that, which I found was, I thought he would maybe get a little bit of an elevation, because we'll get to that next show as well.
Yeah, because they, like, for this one, I don't think it was as apparent, but I think it definitely became very apparent on the next show.
Yeah. But it was good while it lasted, but I get it. It's only
for sure.
Yeah. Masa Kidemi and Uka Sasaki defeated Kaito Kiyomi and Harutoki in 16:56 with the Saito suplex from Kidemi on Harutoki. This is real good. I think this might have been the second best match of the show.
Yeah, I mean, just looking, like, just in general thinking about it, yeah, I would say this was the second best match on the show as well. I was a little bit surprised with the outcome, kind of, that, like, the All Rebellion team, like, lost, I mean.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not a major thing, so.
No. And then the three-way match, Tadasuke and Yuto Kikuchi defeated Atsushi Kotobe and Hajime Ohara and Amasuka and Juta Miyawaki. In 9:42 went the Tadasuke crash from Tadasuke onto Koge. Again, of course. Gotta be. You know, this is just, I don't know, these two matches, we'll get to the, you know, and then one after that. They're very similar, just like go juniors doing their spots type thing.
Yeah, I mean, it was really just a preview for,
but it's better than stalling Rattel's matches.
Yes, exactly. Like, it's much better than, like, Hayata, like, doing Liquid for 20 minutes.
So, four-way match. Mark True and Kieran Lacey beat Hayata and Yohei, Alejandro and Kai Fujimara, and Ada and Deki Odoshima in 10:22 with the True Star Press from 2 on Odoshima. Same thing applies to this match, like the previous match. Mm-hmm. We'll get into True and Lacey after their like actual one-on-one tag to sort of give our analysis of them so far, I think.
Yeah.
And then main event, Galeno, and it's just Galeno now. Mm-hmm. They don't like to call him evil because he's in the baby face.
Yeah, I think that really is the reason why they're like, or he's the evil guy. It's like,
so he's now just like Doctor.
Yeah.
He's now just Doctor.
Yeah, which, okay.
Galeno and Manabu Soya defeated Ozawa and Tetsuya Endo in 18:42 when Soya pinned Endo. I thought this was the match of the show. You know, it pumped me up. I think, mm-hmm. Well, we'll talk about this a little in the next show too, but I think Galeno is really showing himself. He's almost ready for prime time. You know what I mean? And this was sort of what I expected the result to be, actually. But we'll get into the next show about how surprising that was.
Yeah. No, I expected this result here as well. I will say with Galeno, I think it's kind of similar to his brother, where, like, he's just, like, has this, like this thing just kind of clicks, and then he's just really good all of a sudden. Because his brother was kind of the same, because he was, like, honestly pretty middling for, like, a long time. And then he won the national title, and then everything just clicks, and he was, like, one of the best wrestlers in the entire promotion. Mm-hmm. It's only Galeno is doing this at a much younger age than his brother. So that's kind of scary how good he could actually become there.
Yeah.
I think one thing I want to highlight for this match specifically is like how good of a troll Ozawa is.
Absolutely.
Just like him coming out with the Galeno mask and then reacting to like the Galeno calls from the crowd. Mm-hmm. It was just masterful stuff. Like, yeah, he's so good. And I think he was really good here as well. But to be fair, I thought all four of them were like really good. But I think Ozawa continues to just be like the complete standout.
So that was a good setup for what would happen 3 days later on the 11th at Corken Hall in a rare 11:30 a.m. spot. Or no, Corken Hall, they don't usually do those. But it was a holiday in Japan, so that's probably all they could get. So they did 1,560 fans for a supernova vacancy, full house. You had people in the upper level and everything like that. So Noah continues its hot streak in Corken Hall.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't just like it wasn't even just sold out, it was sold out in advance as well. So it's not like they got a good walk up because they had no walk up, it was already sold out.
Mm-hmm. I missed this, I watched this live, but I didn't realize there was a dark match.
I actually watched it, yeah. Okay.
How was it? It looks like
it was fun, it was pretty good, yeah. Yeah, I mean, not much to say. I mean, it was like a 10 minute opening match. The crowd was actually still filing in as the match went on, basically. So, like, crowd reactions were okay, but could have maybe been a bit louder. But, yeah, I mean, these four guys are all pretty good. And, again, this match, even more so, was, like, pretty clear that Josiah's tour is kind of done now. Because he's kind of, like, dropping on the way out, essentially.
Yeah.
So, but, again, he was over with the crowd. So, again, I think that is really encouraging that he got himself over on this tour, and I think that always makes it much more likely that you will be brought back if you get over.
And then we go on to the first match. Harutoki defeated Owada-san in 4:38 with the brain match. This was a lot of fun. Well, at last, they just went into hard sprint, but then it was like, bam, and I was like, whoa, did not expect that.
No, this one to me really was the one where it's like, oh yeah, okay, so they're... Because I thought they were like Owada treating him almost as like... He is the lost post, but like I didn't think he was like loose, like because it's not like Harutoki is like, you know, like he, like now that spoiler Kenno is gone from like All Rebellion, I don't know, like Harutoki is like third at best,
Kaido
in the faction, yeah, and then it's him or like Alejandro, I guess,
yeah.
So like it's not like and to lose to that guy in like under 5 minutes. Is I'm definitely surprised that they like maybe not that they're not pushing him yet, but that they also don't really seem to like want to like protect him in even the slightest. So, I mean, it's not worrying, it's just surprising, I think is more the correct way.
So, then next up, Naomichi Marufuji, Takashi Sugera, and Kazuyuki Fujita defeated Masa Kinomiya, Uka Sasaki, and Shuji Kondo in 9:21 with a triangle choke cutback cradle. From Marufuji on Sasaki. Again, a solid, like, old man, six man tag.
Mm-hmm. I think Fujita has actually found, like, a nice spot for himself now on the card. Where he's just, like, because he also doesn't do, like, mat work anymore. He's just kind of, like, in there and just brawling with, like, Masaki Tamiya. And I think that's kind of a fun spot for him to be in.
Or beating up young guys.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that is the absolute perfect spot for him. I mean, commentary also like keeps bringing that up as well, which again, as they should.
So in the Noah Junior Tag League Block B, Tadasuke and Yuno Kikuchi defeated Atsushi Kotoge and Hajime Ohara in 2 minutes and 19 seconds with a schoolboy from Tadasuke on, you guessed it, Kotoge.
It just keeps happening.
And then in the Tag League Block A, Mark True and Kieran Lacey defeated Hayate and Yohei in 9:30. The True Star Press. From True on Yohei. Okay, so let's break this down. What do you think of True and Lacey?
I think they're fine. Yeah. I don't think they've really blown me away. That's the thing. Like, I've seen like a handful of matches of them before, like on the European scene.
Yeah.
And they were never guys where I was like, oh man, I can't wait until like Mark True and Kieran Lacey are like going to Japan. So I think they're kind of just performing like to my expectations so far, not gonna lie, which aren't super high. So
I mean, I think that they have some potential. I think that this is obviously an environment that they need to be in if they want to take that next big step forward. I mean, that's a great looking Shooting Star Press.
Yes, no, that, for sure.
But you could also see them like sort of like Hada and Yohei sort of like being like trying to gesture to them to get in the right spot, place for spots.
Yes. No, they are. But I mean, to be fair, that is something a lot of like people struggle with, like the first go around in Japan.
Sure.
Like, especially like a venue like Korakuen Hall, I think can be very overwhelming on your first go around, especially like sold out one. So yeah, like I wouldn't be too worried about that kind of stuff just yet. It's just that if that still is happening towards the end of the tour, that's, I think, is when you need to get worried. But yeah. Otherwise, yeah, I'm like, yeah. The one thing that kind of bothers me with them more so is that their looks don't fit together at all, right? Like they don't, like they look like they were red. Like they've been teaming together for a while now, but they look randomly put together.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, I think it's worth kicking the tires on them for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously here for the entire tournament and everything, and also heavily teasing getting like a title shot and everything. So I assume they will get enough time to like prove whether or not they belong.
So then we go to the business end of the card, and you might be asking why this match is fourth from the top. Well, I think I know why. For the GHC national title, Manabu Soya defeated Tetsuya Endo in 12:20 with the Dando to win the title back. And Endo doesn't even get a defense in. Nope. So first of all, the match I enjoyed. I thought it was trending better than their previous match, but then the interference began, which was obviously with the Team 2000X. But then Rattels came out and ran out to save Soya. Sort of also building off of that storyline where Tadasuke challenged Soya at the beginning of the year after winning that Rumble on the New Year's show. And then Soya joined Rattels.
They can't believe.
Or what's it called? The blonde big bar? What? I don't know.
It's Passionate Rattels.
Now it's Passionate Rattels.
Yeah, that's what it says on their website. Yeah, they announced something different. Probably realized that was even worse. So now they're just Passionate Rattels, which, sure, why not?
Okay. Do you think, I mean, I don't know. Look, maybe it's just my own personal predilections and biases or whatever, but however you want to term it. But I just really don't like any of this.
It's not bothering me too much just yet. It's not, like, for example, in, like, New Japan, you have, like, the House of Torture, and there it's just nonstop the entire match, right? Like, that's the only thing that matters is interference spots. And this isn't that, so it's, like, it probably will annoy me eventually, but I'm not there yet, basically.
Okay.
But I can definitely see where you're coming from. Yeah. Like, the thing that bothered me here a lot more was, like, I'm trying to come up with somebody that would fit, like, Rattel's vibes less than Manabu Soya, and I can't really come up with anybody.
Maybe we should have saw something coming with his hair.
I mean, to be fair, yeah, when he had that little hair streak, I was like, okay, what's that about? That is weird. And then, yeah, that is apparently was, like, telegraphing that he was going to join Rattels. Like, why is he, this just, it's just such a baffling fit, like like, also, like, just given what the gimmick of Rattels is supposed to be, he doesn't fit that at all.
But also, it does, I don't really think you need Rattels to tell the story of what happened at the end of the show either.
No, you don't. No, yeah, exactly, you don't need that. You don't need them, I guess. Yeah, if you want, like, to give, like, Soya some backup, I guess.
Yeah,
but, like, you could have, there are enough, like, unaffiliated guys on the roster you could have used for that. You could just pull, like, Masaki Tamiya and, like, Olga Sasaki or whatever out there. You don't need Rattels for that. Like, I don't know. Like, if I would describe it, right? Like, so Manabu Soya is, like, your, like, nice uncle that, like, beats up the bullies, whereas Hayata is, like, your, like, piece of shit uncle that sells, like, cigarettes to your bullies, basically. Like, why would they hang out together?
Yeah. Do you think this hurts Soya? Or, I mean, Endo?
And Endo, yes. Endo, I think, is, because I expected this to be a long reign. I expected this to be a really, really long reign to really, like, establish him as, like, a guy in Noah, and he loses it on his first defense. I mean, maybe they want to, like, but then again, like again, it depends how long this Ozawa reign goes, right? because it doesn't make sense to free up Endo to potentially challenge for a belt because he's not going to challenge a stablemate. So, I'm really not sure why they went. Like, I guess they went for this move so they could do, like, the title for title thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It definitely comes at the expense of Endo. And then I'm like, well, why did you then put the belt on him in the first place?
I think just to give the shock that, like, it's like we're going to give him something because he just came in. But I don't know. He was already sort of damaged goods coming in. So that's why the quick.
Yeah, but, like, I would have hoped that this whole Noah run is supposed to, like, be, like, a repair job for him and not damage him further, basically.
Yeah, for sure. And then, and obviously this is placed here because, spoiler alert, we're going to get more interference in the main event. Noah Jr. Tag League Block A. Alejandro and Kai from Jamari defeated Ada and Daiki Odashima in 10-10 with the Hurricane Rana from Alejandro on Ada. This is the best Junior Tag League match of the show by far. I thought this was really fun. Odashima is just awesome for a guy of his level of experience. They got something in.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Paul, while I was watching this match, the thought popped into my head, should they mask him up?
Like just in general?
Odashima, give him a mask gimmick.
Why?
I don't know, because he's like undersized to begin with, even as a...
I think that train's kind of gone now. Yeah. Like, I think they would have had to do it earlier. But then again, Alejandro kind... Well, okay, Alejandro got his mask gimmick a little later as well, but that was also in a different promotion, so I guess that's a bit different. But, I mean, I guess you could do it, but, like, I think his crowd... Like, maybe that would hit... I would argue that would hurt his crowd connection.
That's true, too.
Like, if you just pretend that there's... He's, like, a different guy now, whereas, like... Because he obviously has, like, a really, really, really good crowd connection already.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mess with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't mess with that.
And Ada continues to look motivated and wear shirts.
Yeah. He took the pin. he took the pin.
Well, that's obviously where Alejandro's going to challenge.
Yes.
And you know what? I'm looking forward to that match.
No. Yeah, me as well. And also Ada bringing out like his like leftover like RED gear as well.
So.
No, but definitely like this is the most motivated I've seen Ada in like years.
So yeah, that is a good sign of things to come.
Yes. No, it definitely is picking up the junior division.
Hano and Kenta, Kaito Kiyomiya, and, well, we thought it was Maybach Taniguchi, but it was just Shuhei, unfortunately, in the end. I can't believe that either. But Kenta and Kenta won in 17 minutes and 50 seconds with a go to sleep from Kenta and Taniguchi. First of all, I think he should have wrestled the whole match as Maybach.
Yes. And he used the stick even. Like, I don't know why he didn't wrestle as Maybach.
Yeah. Because he, like, took the mask off pretty, like, right at the beginning. Maybe he really hates that wrestling in that match.
I think that's really it. I think he really just hates wrestling in that mask. Where it's like, yeah, the gimmick is fun, but, like, this, I can't wrestle in this mask. So that's why he doesn't do it.
Anyway, this was great. Because, first of all, Taniguchi and Kenta were just beating the crap out of each other. Taniguchi doing the close fist punches on Kenta and everything. And then Kenno and Kaito also looked inspired because they did their thing very well. In fact, they might have been doing their thing better than they had been in their last couple of singles matches.
Oh, yeah. No, they were like really into it. I think they got extra motivated from like Kenta being there, knowing that Kenta was obviously going to sign and everything.
Oh, God.
That crown went insane.
And that go to sleep looked nasty.
Yes. Like he's like that. That was my thing. It's like, oh, yeah, he still got it. Where it's like, yeah, no, that go to sleep was nasty. Also, that the fact that he got Taniguchi up. So is that the reason why Taniguchi was like, okay, I need to slim down because in like 2 months or so, I need to like take a go to sleep. So I probably don't want Kenta to fuck that up by me being too heavy.
Also, Kenta took bumps.
Yes. He took more bumps in this match than he did for like most of his New Japan run.
Yeah, so this was great and definitely worth watching. No question.
Yes.
This atmosphere was electric. And and then after the match, Kenno announced that he was leaving All Rebellion, which was a short stint.
Was it? Because he talked of, like, I forgot that they've been around since May.
Really? Okay, I feel like it was, like, the summer.
Same. I also thought it was a lot less, but no, like, they actually, like, translated his promo and commentary, and they said, like, yeah, we started All Rebellion in May, and I did not realize it has been that long. And in which case, I thought, you know what, like, I think it's fair for Kenno to leave because with like addition of like Galeno and Harutoki and everything. Like, I don't think it, like, he doesn't make sense for him to be there anymore.
Well, you know, the most surprising thing about his departure from All Rebellion was the fact that he just shook hands with Kaido. And it wasn't like him turning on Kaido or something.
Yes. I mean, you can still do that. You can still do that eventually. Yeah. Anyways,
they'll go back to that eventually.
Exactly. Like that, that there's no way they won't do, run that again.
Yeah.
Like, that's the title match in the future.
These Kenno and Kenta are the leading candidates to be the next tag champions too.
I was just about to say that these guys are absolutely winning the tag titles. Like, cause you can actually draw with them as well. Like if you want to, like, if you want them as champions, like you can just have them like main event, like a Kurikan with that, with a title match with them.
Yeah. So we go to our main event. Ozawa defeated Galeno Del Mal in 25-49 with the Real Rebel to make his first defense of the title. So I thought it was good. It did slow down a bit in the middle when Galeno was in control. I thought they did have a good closing stretch with all those kickouts and everything. And then Ozawa playing with the Galeno mask. then, you know, you did have the interference, and it probably should not have gone 25 minutes. I mean, Galeno is clearly improving, but he's not. I don't think you could just throw him in a 25-minute match with that.
No, he's, and it also, like, it's like Ozawa is great, but again, Ozawa is also still like relatively new as well. Like, he's still not super, like, so he's not a guy yet that can like carry a guy really. I think is what Galeno still needs, and like a big singles match.
I mean, I am still very high on Ozawa, but he hasn't wrestled like a 25-minute match without gimmicky stuff in it.
Well, I mean, that's also because that's like,
yeah,
the gimmick that he has right now. So
yes, but the interference did not lead to the finish, which I suppose was a good thing. Which was a good thing, I think.
Yeah, like it still put him over strong. Like they still did the interference as was necessary, but then he like won like under his own power, essentially.
Yeah. And then after I went like 3.5 on it. You know?
Oh, yeah. No, it wasn't like in a match of the year candidate or anything like that. It was perfectly acceptable.
So then after the... Oh, and Rattels ran in, and that's where we got the also ran in. So that set up their little alliance. But then after the match, Soya came out and challenged title for title with Ozawa.
Yeah. When they've done this in the past, it's always ended in like...
You can't send a
time limit draw.
60-minute draw. I just think that's bad.
I don't think either of them would be good at that.
Busoya, who I thought they could have put the GHC heavyweight title on, he shouldn't be in 60-minute matches.
No, he shouldn't be. But then do you make Ozawa double champion?
Well, you might kind of want to just do it.
Yeah, I mean, he is the hottest thing in going right now.
Yeah, and whoever beats him, well, could be Kaido, but...
It'll be Kaito. That's the thing. It'll be Kaito or Kenta, actually. I think Kenta signing actually opens up that option as well. But
sure,
Kaito is still the favorite, I would say. But yeah, Kenta could do that. It could be that they're like splitting it up as well. Where I don't know where to come up with some weird gimmick. But yeah, I mean, Ozawa, like, again, they sold out Kurikan in advance, which, like, how long has it been since like they've done that?
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, not that long, but like not for like a complete spectacle match like Kento versus Nakajima, right? It was like the last time they drew like a number like this.
Suzuki versus Kenno?
Suzuki versus Kenno. I think probably got close to this as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, this is like Ozawa versus like Galeno. Like, you know, like I think at this point we can call Ozawa a draw. Galeno definitely isn't yet. So, like, he basically sold that, like, out by himself and Kenta being there. But still, like he's a really strong draw. He's super hot. So I think you might as well, like, because I think eventually you will have somebody that will be a double champion. So you might as well do this with Ozawa now because,
I agree.
Why not?
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
So the rest of the month is the Junior Tag League. So let's speaking of drawing, this is going to be a big test, because on Sunday, March, at the Yokohama Budokan, where they have done some dreadful numbers.
Oh, God, yes.
they are going to run the Ozawa versus Soya title versus title match, the Tag League Finals, also announced because for some reason, Marufuji just decided to challenge Masa Kidemiya as a three match. That.
Yeah, that one was weird. Like, they tried to hype that up as like a big match, and I'm like,
it's not.
It really isn't.
They're holding off on that Marufuji versus Kenta, I'm sure, for like Budokan or something.
Yes. Or that might be the other thing where, like, if Kenta isn't challenging or like in a title match on the New Year Eve show, on the New Year's Day show, then he is going to be like, he's going to wrestle Marufuji.
Yeah. We also get a 25th anniversary special, All Rebellion versus Dark Agents, Kaito Kiyomiya and Galeno versus Takashi Sugiura and Masao Inoue.
Sure.
What can Galeno and Inoue do? They can't interact. Inoue can't take any of that off.
No, he really can. Like, he's gonna turn into dust.
And then we got Kenno and Kenta versus Kazuyuki Fujita and Uka Sasaki.
Yeah.
Which would be a lot of fun. And then, the one last thing that I want to get is, then we've got a bunch of in March, nothing I don't think has come out, but we have to go all the way to March 29th because there's some interesting news on this show. It is the Limit Break at Yokohama Radiant Hall on Saturday, March 29th. And we've got Kazuyuki Fujita versus Koji Doi.
That one's really interesting, yeah.
Atsushi Kotoge and Koji Iwamoto versus Naomichi Marufuji and Tomomitsu Matsunaga. Hajime Ohara versus Brian Ishizaka. The Reeve Mask and the Reeve Mask 2 versus Black Mensa Ray and Shuhei Taniguchi.
Yeah.
Satsuki Nagao and Daiki Odashima versus Junior Matsunaga and Ryo Hoshino. And we have Muhammad Yone, Shuji Ishikawa, Oka Sasaki versus Takashi Sugiura, Gaina, and Naoya Nomura.
Yes, that is the really interesting one here.
So I think it's a big, big, big L for All Japan if they cannot get him back as even a part-time.
Yeah.
But I mean, not as big an L as it once was, but they could really still use him. We'll get into that when we go to All Japan. But they need some more bodies in that roster.
True. But I mean, we were kind of saying the same thing like last time Nomura came back, right? And he like didn't immediately come back to All Japan.
Yeah. So
we'll see if this is like a similar situation like that where
I think Yuma Aoyagi has to start lobbing insults at him in the press or something.
Yeah, exactly. He has to like start insulting his like his honor again, so he's coming in.
Yeah. So I just thought that was very interesting. But like Limit Break has been the onboard for a lot of guys that they bring into Noah now.
Exactly. So interested if this is like another one. Yeah. Again, with him, obviously, the like big question is always like, how does his body hold up?
Yeah.
So we'll see.
That could be why All Japan hasn't called him too. For
that
a while.
Might be the other thing. Because again, they never called back, what's his face?
The Dragon Gate guy. Right?
The former Dragon Gate guy. Yeah, I forgot his name.
Oji Shiba,
yeah.
Yeah, because he was
Because they basically were like kind of pushing him and everything, and then he got injured and then they just waved their hands completely.
I think he's back, but he's on like stuff. Just here. Oh, yeah.
Actually, while you looked it up. Oh, yeah.
He's in Tenru Project in Osaka Pro.
Yeah. I mean, that's not the worst, but
no.
Yeah. Definitely a step down from All Japan, that's for sure.
And since I forgot to put this on the run sheet, but we're just going to touch on this quickly because some of the guys that were on this Limit Break show, but 01 relaunched in front of only 186 fans. That should be fun. And it sounds like Tochigi Pro and 01 really are a hard
spot. Yeah. And it's not clear who actually owns the title, which would be a shame if that belt goes away. Again, that's the old AWA belt. Like that. Yes, that's like, that's a shitload of like wrestling history right there in that belt.
Yeah. Yeah. Still no announcement.
So I think the reason is because it might legitimately not be like legally clear who actually owns that belt now.
That's very possible too.
Who knows?
Yeah. So that is Pro Wrestling Noah.
Actually, just real quick, one thing on the Kitamiya and Marufuji match, because I just looked it up. So, I mean, it isn't a big match, but at the very least, they haven't done it since 2019. So at least it's a match they haven't done in a long time at this point.
Yeah, okay. That's true. Yeah, I mean, they are sort of like different generations, so it sort of makes sense. in that regard. So let's move on.
I forgot how long Kid Amir has been around as well. Like,
oh yeah,
like, the first match was in 2013.
Yeah, and he debuted after Miyahara.
He was 2011. When was Miyahara?
Yeah, so that's Miyahara was in 2009. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So way after. Yeah.
So go over to All Japan for Excite Series on February 9th at Korakuen Hall in front of 1,276 fans. Decent. So we start with Mr. Saito, Naruki Doi, and Senor Saito defeating Seki Yoshioka and Taishin Nagao at 9:54 with the camel climb Doi on Nagao. A nice little opener. I feel like Nagao has very similar vibes to Ota Shima. Small guy, crowd connection already.
Yeah. No, they're very similar. Like, I actually sometimes keep confusing them in my head, not gonna lie. I'm like, oh yeah, it's the small guy that's new. And it's like, no, wait, they're not the same person. They're different people.
And the
weird part is that the Noah guy, like, right, and the other confusing part is because the Noah guy wears red and the All Japan guy wears green. So I'm like, okay, this is even more confusing.
Yeah. So we have now Kento Miyahara, Dan Tamer, and Ryo Inoue defeating Hokuto Omori, Aizawa number one, and Jack Kennedy in 10:38 with the shutdown. German suplex hold from Miyahara on, of course, Omori, even though you've got other jobbers in there, which is part of the storyline and everything like that. Yeah, this is just there.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I also think basically because remember when like Omori kind of knocked out Miyahara and kind of got a pin on him. I think ever since then, I think Kento has literally pinned Omori every single time they're in a match together.
Yep. And then, strange positioning on this card, but for the PWF World Junior Heavyweight title, Musashi defeated Hikaru Sato in 12:54 with the Nitin Ichiru to make his first defense. So I did like this. I didn't blow my socks off or everything, but I really did enjoy like Sato reversing everything towards the end into submissions before Musashi got that win. So I thought it was a very solid first defense for Musashi.
Yeah, I mean, Sato is like a good guy for the, like to put in there as like your first defense.
Yeah,
because he's just won that belt so many times. He still has like the credibility. And I also thought like the mat work and everything that they were doing was really solid. Again, as you said, like nothing blow away, but I also like enjoyed it for what it was as well.
Yeah. And then Yoshioka came out and I'm like, ooh, this is interesting. But then just a video from Sego and he assumes that Sato has won the title.
Which was a really good bit.
Yeah. That was a good bit. I laughed at that one because it was obvious what he was in Japanese. So yeah, that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, no, it's Sego. I love Sego. So I'm also happy, like despite the fact that he's now like with that like Uptown promotion. Yeah. like that he still clearly like has like a spot with All Japan and they're like even willing to give him title matches still. So that's good.
Yeah. So the All Asia Tag title skirmish between Alpida and Baka no Jidai. Got Suwama making his contractually obligated one per month. Hideki Suzuki, Fuminori Abe, and Takuya Nomura defeated Rising Hayato, Yuma Anzairuki, Honda, Ren Ayabe in 9:59. The octopus hold from Abe on Hayato. I gotta say, I didn't think this was as good as I thought it was gonna be.
Yeah, there was a lot of comedy.
It was just kind of
a lot of comedy, yeah.
Comedy in All Japan mid-card, you say?
Yeah. I mean, Hideki Suzuki is an official part of Baka no Jidai, so...
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm still incredibly hyped for the match, regardless of that one. Then the Shotaro Shino Kuma Arashi debut 10th anniversary match. They even had Wrestle 1 footage of their debut match in the video. Leading up to this match, Shotaro Shino defeated Kuma Arashi in 12:37 with the ankle lock. Look, despite everything, Shino still remains very over.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed this match. I thought it was solid. You know, Ashino throwing him around, and then Kuma got his big comeback with a couple of near falls. And then Ashino turned a Boston Crab, probably sort of playing off of a debut match, into an ankle lock for the submission. So I enjoyed this as their 10th anniversary match.
Mm-hmm. No, I also thought it was really solid as well. I think it's also nice of them to like do that as well, like give him like a big singles match for like the 10th anniversary, because it's not really like even like All Japan has to do that, right? Because they aren't like native All Japan guys, they're Wrestle 1 guys, so really like why would All Japan care? what Wrestle One history is. But like, I think it's nice that they like acknowledge it and everything, and that they did give him like the semi main on a Corican as well. Like, that's not a small spot. So it was a nice gesture, and it was a good match.
And then next up, and I got a lot to say here. June Saturn Race defeated Yuma Aoyagi and Atsuki Aoyagi 24-47 with the psycho break from on June on Yuma. Very inexplicable booking of who takes the pin here. I thought the setup was going to retain, but I thought this started off a little. I didn't mind the crowd brawling. That's what you get with the Saito match. I think it works for them. I love them like interacting with the fans with the towels and everything. Like when they took the towel and rubbed it on Yuma, or was it Atsuki, and then gave it back to the fan. That was funny.
That towel is never getting washed.
No. But it did slow down in the middle, although I thought it had a very, very strong closing stretch. And I think they set up the Aoyagis well and being like, they might actually be able to pull this off. Mm-hmm. So I actually did end up going 3¾ stars in the end. But I just think it was just some stuff in the middle that was just like dragged it down a bit. So, it's still a very good showing, just inexplicable booking. And even more inexplicable booking is because Kento comes out. And Kento, of course, yells Dochi Dochi, which was hilarious.
Yeah.
But then he has Atsuki drag Yuma out from the back.
It's lifeless body. And then it's like barely conscious.
Like, yeah, and then specifically, Business Tag is going to challenge on like in March for the tag titles, even though my partner just got pinned.
Took the fall, yeah. I'm taking the lesser brother, the one that got pinned, instead of the one that didn't get pinned.
Yeah, so I don't know. This is just glaring to me as like how thin this roster is.
Yeah, but then like, I don't know. I mean, it is, but like, what about an Elpida team, right? Like, why aren't they challenging?
Yeah, exactly, right?
Why do we run, like, Yuma Aoyagi? Like, why does he get to challenge for the belt, like, 50 different... Like, it's a thin roster, but it's not that thin that the same guy has to challenge for the belts over and over again.
They're pretty selective who they let challenge for the world.
I mean, yes.
I think they need to be a little more...
Liberal. Like, they're more adventurous with the triple crown booking than they are with the tag title booking, which is very weird.
It is very weird.
So, do you think Yuma and Kendra are going to pull that one off?
I think they might.
I think I'm ready to, like, move on from the Saitos as tag champions, yeah.
Especially with June as the triple crown?
Exactly. Like, if he wasn't the triple crown champion, and since this also seems to be a long reign, I would have been fine with keeping it on the Saitos. But, like, otherwise, like, I think it's actually kind of... Because it's holding up so much stuff in the promotion that, like, everything revolves around the Saitos right now. Like, it feels like there's nothing else really going on besides the Saitos at the moment. Mm-hmm. So, if you take the tag titles off of them, then at least you can do something different with those titles. And then, like, for example, Ray will still be fine because, again, they have to, like, build him up as a singles competitor a bit more because they're obviously building up for that big, like, title match and Sendai eventually. So I think it also makes sense to kind of like maybe not have them as a tag team all the time right now.
I agree with that. And I think, they'll probably get the titles or win the Real World Tag League again later in the second half.
Oh, absolutely. Like once like the Triple Crown, like once like June loses the Triple Crown or whatever, like you can't put those titles back on them. But I think right now, I think it's actually like harming the promotion, like as weird as that sounds, like the fact that the Saitos are the tag champions is actually like a negative thing right now, weird. Like it feels weird to say because they still have like good matches and everything, but like,
and they're over.
There's just nothing else going on in the promotion because the Saitos just take up all of the air.
Yeah. So, what do you think about this Triple Crown match? Like, do you think Yuma could win?
I mean, he just got pinned here, right? That's the other thing.
Yeah, like why?
Like he almost has to. Like, I feel like that might be the reason why he's like they're running this back as a tag match, where like he loses the Triple Crown match, but then he's
gonna pin one of the Saitos.
Exactly, he's gonna pin one of the Saitos to win the tag belts.
Yeah, I think that's what we're headed for. I just don't think there's any point in taking off of June already.
No, it like that really doesn't make any sense right now.
Yeah. Did you watch Show on the 11th?
Yes, I watched that one too.
Okay, so we go to Fujisan Messe in front of 485 fans. Seki Yoshioka defeated Taisha Nagao in 8:41 with the crab hold. A solid little opener. Ray Sutter defeated Jack Kennedy in 9:34 with a sleeper hold. Paul, I don't think many people will like this match, but I liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. I thought it was perfectly acceptable. What we just talked about, right? Like, they need to start building up Ray as like a singles worker, and I think stuff like this is like a first step, essentially.
It was fine. It was just two big guys going at it.
Exactly.
Know.
And like Jack Kennedy is like a guy that can get tossed around by like Ray and choked out, and it's fine.
And I think Jack Kennedy's so.
Yes, and he sold that well as well when he came out like later in the show where he was still like coughing and everything after getting choked out.
He cut backstage comments, and he sounds like he smokes like 5 packs a day for like 30.
And now it makes perfect sense why he moved to Japan and fits in really well there.
and of course got that southern accent.
Yeah, which is weird again because his name is Kennedy.
So then we got Hideki Suzuki and Yuko Miyamoto defeated Shotaro Shino and Dan Tamara in 10-10 with the toe kick from Suzuki on Tamara. I thought this.
Yeah, I was surprised how much I actually liked this one.
Yeah, they worked hard. Miyamoto worked hard. Yeah, it was just a good solid match. I don't know. Did you watch the backstage comments?
Yeah. And so then they keep getting into each other. Yeah.
In the backstage comments too. So that was a really solid match. And the 6JPW TV six-man tag team title, Yuma Aoyagi, Fuminori Abe, and Hikaru Sato defeated Hoku Tomori, Kuma Arashi, and Tsuji Kondo in 12:37 with a jackknife hold from Aoyagi on, you guessed it, Omori. To make their second defense of the titles. Again, this was like all of these six-man tag title matches with Baka no Jidai team. Starts off with a lot of comedy, but then they sort of like tighten it up at the end, and it's turns out to be
I just really didn't like the early part of the match, and I was also kind of confused in the post-match when they were like celebrating with Kuma Arashi and Shuji Kondo. I wasn't quite sure what that was all about.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, and then so June has a foot injury, so hopefully he's been taking off the next two shows, but he still hasn't been Triple Crown match. So you know who they replaced June Saito with?
The logical person to replace June Saito with.
Yes, of course, that is Kuroshio Tokyo, Japan.
And similar vibes.
He beat Seko Tachibana here in 8:38 via pinfall. Honestly, it was a completely inoffensive, if not decent match, because, you know, these guys have worked well together. So it was a nice, quick little.
I mean, the only thing where I'm like, I get that it's Seko, so it doesn't really matter, but it's still weird to have like him challenge for the junior belt and then lose a singles match on the next show.
Yeah. And then main event. Hantai versus Alpida. Kento Miyahara, Musashi, Atsuki Aoyagi, and Ryo Inoue defeated Rising Hayato, Yuma Anzai, Ruki Honda, and Ren Ayabe in 20:35 with a shutdown surplus hold from Miyahara on Honda. And I thought this was awesome.
Oh, no, the match was great. Yeah, the match was really awesome.
I went 4 stars on this match. It was just awesome. You know, it really like shows you like the talent of this promotion, right? Because it's like Kento in there and everybody else is. Well, you call Musashi an old guy. I suppose he's like 35, but like, you know, and the rest.
Maybe so is Kento.
Yeah. The rest of these guys are their young core, and it was just great, you know, main event of a spot show. So this, as we were recording, this show will have, by the time you hear this, this show will have already happened.
Yes.
Which is their February 14th Valentine's Day show at Shinkiba First Ring. But we'll quickly go over it because you've got the first match, Musashi, Rising Hayato, and Atsuki Aoyagi versus Ryo Inoue, Taisha Nagao, and Seko Tachibana, which could be obviously a very good opener. We got Ryuki Honda versus Seki Yoshioka, which is called the Valentine's Special Singles Match.
Sure.
Yeah.
Can't just out people like that.
Shotaro Chino and Dan Tamara versus Hideki Suzuki and Hikaru Sato.
Yeah. The show itself sounds really good overall. Yeah.
Ray Sato versus Kuma Arashi. I mean, that could
be. I mean, again, building up Ray as a singles guy.
Yeah. And Kento Miyahara, Yuma Aoyagi, and Hoku Tomori versus Yuma Anzai, Red Ayabe, and Kuroshi of Tokyo.
Yeah. The logical, like the new Saito.
And then as Forta Arena, we've got a full card. This final match order hasn't been announced, but the Triple Crown will obviously be the main. We've got Kento Miyahara and Taishin Nagao versus Mr. Saito, Naruki Doi, and Senor Saito. Ryuki Honda, Ren Ayabe, and Seko Tachibana versus Hoku Tomori, Kuma Arashi, and Jack Kennedy. Shotaro Shido, Musashi, Dan Tamura, and Ryo Inoue versus Hideki Suzuki, Hikaru Sato, Kengo Mashimo, and Seki Yoshioka. That could be real good. We got for the Gayor TV Championship. This had been previously announced before they had brought Kurashio to cover matches. He's challenging Yuko Miyamoto. Jiro's not winning this, right?
I mean, the weird part again is because Jiro's in there as the replacement for June. So I don't.
Well, this was announced before the injury.
Before the injury.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I don't think in that case he's not.
Because you never know, but I assume that he's just going to devote his time to Uptown. And then, of course, we've all been waiting for the All-Asia Tag Team titles, Rising Hide and Yuma Anzai versus Fuminori Abe, Takuya Nomura. I hope they give them like 20 minutes. They got to, right?
Far enough up the card that it probably has, like, it's given enough time.
Yeah. And then Rei Saito versus Atsuki Aoyagi. This is interesting because, like, I still think that the Saitos are better against large guys than small guys. So I'm curious to see how this pans out.
Yeah.
And then, of course, in the main event, Jun Saito versus Yuma Aoyagi for the Triple Crown. And the tag title match is going to happen on March 9th, as we said. Also, that's when the junior heavyweight match between Sego and Tachibana is happening. And we've also got Rising Hado, Yuma Anzai, Reiki Honda, Ren Ayabe versus Hideki Shotaro Oshino, Dan Tamura, and Ryo Inoue, which is, again, another very match. And now we go on to what everyone's all been waiting for. Champion Carnival blocks. Block A, Kento Miyahara, Jun Saito, Hideki Shotaro Oshino, Kuma Arashi, Kengo Mashimo, Zion, a.k.a. Zion Quinn. More on him in a second. Cyrus and Davey Boysman. Block B, Yuma Aoyagi, Rei Saito, Hokuto Omori, Yuma Anzai, Ryuki Honda, Ren Ayabe, Igo Blanc, Mike DiVecchio, and Madoka Kakuta. Paul, thoughts?
So I have a very strong preference for Block B. I think Block B is awesome.
Yes.
I think I love Block B, like top to bottom. I would say the weakest, if your weakest worker in your block is Hokuto Omori, I think you have a really good block.
Ren Ayabe?
Ren Ayabe as well. But also it's a super young block. I think they showed the average age of that block is 26.
Yeah.
So which is absurd.
Yuma's turning 30 this year, but So yeah, that's the
But Rei Saito, Rei is the one dragging the average up by a lot, because he's 38. But otherwise, I'm really interested how Madoka Kakuta is doing, is going to do, because I still remember the Yoshioka run in the N1 and how bad that was. I hope Kakuta is motivated and actually can perform. But if he does, I think this is an amazing block, one of the best Champion Carnival blocks in years.
Definitely one of the best Champion Carnival blocks since 2018, 2019. So Madoka Kakuta in it. Big news, because Dragon Gate and All Japan have not really worked together in a number of years.
Nope.
That
really, I mean, it kind of had Doi. Obviously, that's coming. Doi is kind of
Doi's a freelancer, though.
Yeah. Well, but he's still a regular. He's still a super regular, in Dragon Gate.
But Doi can do his own thing, though.
Yes. No, he can. But I would say that he's the go-between to probably get the relationship going.
And so we have Mashimo in there, too. All Japan's starting to open up to other promotions. I think that Dragon Gate relationship they had a few years ago was very good. It served them well.
No, that was really, really good. That basically kept their junior division alive for a while. We also got that really good Susumu right. Title run and everything out of that. That was really good. Also, I think this just confirms that the great relationship is just dead as a doornail.
Yeah. Yeah, which I'm probably a bigger defender of it than others were, but I'm not really losing sleep over it either at this point.
No. I really like T-Hawk and everything, having T-Hawk around and Hayato Tamura, but I mean,
well, for all you know, Hayato Tamura.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
I would scoop
and that. Apparently T-Hawk is an asshole, so might also be better for the locker room.
Yeah,
mood not have him around.
It's funny because the guys out with injuries, I would take Yuizuka and
yeah,
but yeah, yeah, I'm not losing any sleep. And you don't know, I think at this point also with Great continuing to plumb the new depths of whatever, it just doesn't make, it just, I don't know, it doesn't hurt, doesn't help them to be associated.
No, absolutely. Like, I mean, hell, that like they basically have been like doing like 1,000, like All Japan has been doing like 1,000 plus in Kurikan for like a while now. And one of the few ones that broke that streak was like the like crossover show with Great that they did.
Yeah.
Where they drew like 600 people.
But
like,
they got...
literally like just having Great on the fucking marquee like cost 400 people to not show up.
Hey, they got Anzai to pin Shima, so it was all worth it in the end.
Yes, actually. but still, like I think Madoka Kakuta again, if he's up for it, I think he's going to do really well. I think he's going to do really, really well. A Block, what are your thoughts on A Block? Because mine are like,
well, no, I mean, there's only two. Well, I don't know. I mean, here's the to me, I was like ambivalent on Davey Boy Smith Jr. It was just that last match for the Triple Crown against Jun Saito that really turned me against him.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like relatively fine in the last Champion Carnival, so
yeah.
I hope that he is fine here. Kengo Mashimo, obviously, great. Cyrus, good. I have turned around on Cyrus because become sort of almost full time in All Japan. Zion, okay, I've never seen a Zion match, but this guy spent 5-6 years in NXT. From all accounts, he's horrible. TNA peaked him up.
He knows where the hard cam is.
TNA picked him up for a couple of matches that aired on Explosion like last summer, and they didn't keep him around. And then he moved back to Australia. So maybe his plane ticket's a little cheap. He has been barely doing anything in Australia, at least according to Cage Match. So I don't know if they are missing what they're missing. If they're missing like okay, he's got one indie match where he did an 8-man elimination lockdown match in
the Lone Star Tavern in Mermaid Waters, the most prestigious venue.
So yeah, he did two matches in TNA in August 2024. And then he did one match in January 2025 at this VPW elimination match. Now, of course, it could be small Australian indies he's working that we don't know about. Fine. But he's not doing a lot.
No.
And Paul, listen to this. They brought him out to be beaten by Braun Breaker in 6 seconds on SmackDown in March of 2024. But before that, his last 12-5 televised match was a battle royale for the Intercontinental number one contendership, which was in May of 2023 on Raw.
That's rough.
And that's, again, he's not listed. Between May 2023 and March 2024, he's not listed on any like of the Largo Loop shows for NXT either.
So just absolutely like not even like completely doing nothing. Like we've got nothing for you.
He's got a great look. He is a, wasn't he like a top rugby player in Australia?
Maybe. Right. Cage yes. Matches, any comments on it?
He's
that. Oh yeah, he was a wing. Yeah, he played, and he actually played for Samoa. So it's actually Samoan. Yeah, so he played rugby for Samoa.
Yeah, I would like to note that on his X, he has not tweeted that he hasn't tweeted since January 22nd, 26th. So he has not acknowledged that he is in the Champion Carnival, and he has not done so on his Instagram either. Or wait, hold up. No, he has not said that on his Instagram.
Wait, but wasn't there somebody that said that he has actually been in Japan for like a while, like since the beginning of the year already and has been training there?
I don't know. He might be, but wait. Okay. So
I can't remember seeing
something
that
on his Instagram in September 2024 that he's off to Japan. So he could be there training.
Yeah. Maybe it's not, but still, like, why is he not wrestling?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have particularly high hopes. And frankly, I would suggest keep your hopes low.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this seems like another one of those, like, Hideki's friend and, like, guy Hideki made friends with in NXT. So he's like, yeah, sure, buddy, I'll get you a gig.
Yeah, that seems to be what it is. I mean, look, they're not above keeping him. They'll, like, if you look how they book some of these foreigners that come in for the first time, they'll book him in only 6-7 minute matches. They're not going to send him out there for 15 minutes, you know.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah, so...
You know what he feels like though? You know what where he would have fit in perfectly? Mm-hmm. Like he would have been like an RONG guy.
Yes, he would have been.
Like 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% ROD guy. Well, yeah, he's also like, I think, half Samoan, and there was like, they put Samoans in ROD, you know?
So, yeah, so
that's Mudo brain for you.
But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, to be fair, it's one guy, so it's like, it's whatever. It's just kind of baffling. Again, maybe he comes out of nowhere and surprises all of us. I'm just, that would have to like literally come out of nowhere, because nobody's ever said anything good about this guy as like a wrestler.
He has a 508 on Cage Match, even bigger than I thought. But there's a lot of people giving him like that.
And you have to remember how much like WWE fans tend to like overrate WWE guys.
Yeah. So Mike D, good to see that they listened to the crowd. Mm-hmm. And his enthusiasm clearly was...
got a massive pop as well from the crowd when he was announced. Yeah.
Igo Blanc also got a bit of a pop, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because he hasn't been around for a while. Like that was a while ago that he got that tour.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. Like late 2023.
But he's improved since then.
Yeah, no, he's gotten a lot better since then. So I think he's definitely that's also why I was like, okay, this is interesting that they're bringing him back now, but also he's much better now. So I think he's actually going to do really well.
Yes, yes, for sure. Last match, according to Cage Match from February 9th in France, Igo Blanc defeats LJ Cleary.
All Japan beating Noah.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see for Igo Blanc as well. I think that's going to be a good addition for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any other thoughts on this lineup?
Like I said, I really like the lineup, especially for Bullock B. One of the best ones that they've had in years. So I am overall looking forward to it. And again, they made the tour longer and everything. So I have to say, though, I don't have a good like guess who's winning, though. Because other years I've been, I was like, maybe... But does that work out timing-wise with the Sendai show?
Yes,
because he's going to get the shot. And
the Sendai show is the first big show after the carnival.
Is it the first big show?
Yes, I'm positive. I thought we had gone over this. I will double-check.
Okay, maybe, yeah. Because normally they go up to, like, Hokkaido, right? But, yeah, okay, maybe they're going to Sendai instead. So, yeah, okay.
May 18th, Champion Carnival Finals, Ota Ward. June 1st, Sendai Sun Plaza.
Okay, yeah, no, then Ray is 100. Yeah, Ray, like... Yeah, wrap it up. Ray is winning.
Okay, so who's coming out of Block A?
Kento. And Ray beats him in the final. Yeah, because Kento beat June, right? Last year. So Ray beats Kento in the final.
Ooh, that's a good story. Yeah.
Yeah, that actually works really well.
I'm going to go out there and just stick my head out for our boy,
Shano in the final?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there aren't that many people that... I mean, actually, there's one other person that could make the final, too.
Oh, okay.
That's Davey Boy.
Oh, okay. No. I was going to say one other person. I was like...
Hideki actually might be another one, because Noah did that too, right? Where they put him in that N1 final.
Yeah,
great. So that's someone I could see as well. But then, yeah, no, like Kumarashi, Kengo Mashimo, Zion Osiris, no. Jun Saito, I also don't think, because I don't think...
No.
That makes sense to like run that like on like back-to-back big shows, essentially.
But now, I guess we don't have a schedule yet, so I want to see who knocks June out. Because I would assume we play on the final night. I think June's pinning Kento.
You think so?
In the block stages.
Because I could see Kento being the one that knocks out June and then gets a title match.
Yeah.
That's like down the line.
Huh. Yeah. So it's sort of strange to say like, oh, well, A block is the worst block, but it's also like the one that's more open.
Yeah, because the other one is just like, it's the B block will have better matches, but also Ray Saito is going to win the block.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think anything with Kento, Hideki, or Shotaro will be a good...
Yeah. No, for sure. Like, as long as they don't put, like, Zion in there, I think we'll be fine.
And yeah, I mean, look, I suppose you could be concerned about Davey Boy Smith, but would they do that? Would they run Davey Boy Smith as Ray as the final ward?
Yeah, that seems risky. That seems very much like a... I think it just makes more sense for it to be Kento to, like, guarantee you draw a good number, not a ward.
I think, given the position... given the promotion right now, I don't think... If you've got Ray in there, I don't think you need Kento in there to do a good number.
So that's why you think they might put like a Shane on there so they don't burn off a big match?
Yeah, I think you can get away with doing it. Because you could tell the story about him clawing his way back, you know, after everything that happened.
Into the final, yeah. Yeah, that would actually make a lot of sense, yeah.
I don't know. That's just my feeling. But yeah, I mean, I'm still looking. I mean, I'm really looking forward to this tournament. I still think it's gonna be a long one, or longer than it's been in a couple of years. You know. So yeah, that is Champion Carnival, and that is us pretty much for this week, Paul. Unless you have any final clothing thoughts.
No, nothing really. I think we went over like everything like pretty well.
Yeah. I'll just say, I don't know. My instinct is just to be very skeptical of Team 2000X, despite the fact it still feels incredibly hot. And I still think like Ozawa is incredible. I'm just like so nervous about it.
I mean, I think the good thing is that like it's weird because Noah finally got hot in the year that they actually like downscaled their schedule, right?
Yeah.
Like they would have needed to be this hot last year when they were in all of these big shows and like half empty buildings. Yeah, and now that they've actually went to like smaller buildings, they're selling them out all the time. We can like probably have to turn people away at the door.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? Yeah, but yes, Noah still feels hot. It doesn't feel like this is like, I might be worried and I could see this jumping the shark for me before, you know, people stop going to the shows and anything like that for sure. But yes, it still absolutely feels very hot.
Yeah.
So on that note, we will leave you. We will talk to you in a couple of weeks and enjoy all the wrestling out there. Bye.
Hello there, everybody. It's me, Garrett Kidney, the co-host of You've Got to Be Kidding Me on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
And I am Liam Jones, my full name, and I am also a part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network as a co-host for You've Got to Be Kidding Me.
We are a TNA history podcast that covers TNA 1 month at a time. We cover all the drama, all the matches, all the Vince Russo nonsense you could ever want in your life.
Have you heard of TNA? I bet you have, but would it be funnier if two people made jokes over it the whole time? Probably.
So if that sounds like fun to you, check it out on this very Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network, and Liam will do bits and whatnot.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.